We're going to be talking tonight about Jesus Christ. Why is there only one way to heaven? Because a lot of people think we're very narrow. And if Jesus Christ isn't the only way to heaven, we truly are narrow-minded. We're strongly believing something that's not true. And so I want to show you from Scripture today that Jesus Christ really is the only way to eternal life. We're going to start off by reading John 14, 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. During our Lord's lifetime, he outraged people by his teaching. His teachings were not like that of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He taught as one that had authority. When you have authority, you have to have a good basis for where that authority comes from. And Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and that God was his Father. That was his source of authority. Jesus' teachings cut across every human area of life. And some of them, even today, even as Christians, we think, that's a strange way of looking at things. I want to give you a few examples of that and see if you really believe this and if you really live it out in your life. In Matthew 5, verse 11, Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we get persecuted, when people call us names because we're serving Jesus Christ, how many of us rejoice? How many of us like to be called names? How many of us like to be called stupid, ignorant, bigoted? That's what they call us. Folks, the Lord says when that happens, because you're standing for Christ, now not because you're ignorant and getting in people's faces, but because you're saying, these are the things I really believe, and I believe you should too. When they tell you how foolish you are, rejoice. Because what? Great is your reward in heaven. Suppose I went to work tomorrow, and I went to a new client, and the client said I was the stupidest person he'd ever heard talk about the Bible. But I knew when I got done with that day's work, I was going to get $1 million. Would I be too concerned about what that man thought? I say, you can have whatever view you want, because tonight I'm getting $1 million. It doesn't matter, sir, what you think. When we get to heaven, the Lord says, if you'll put up with the troubles of life, if you rejoice because great is your reward in heaven, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be happy now because you're not just looking at this life. You're looking beyond this life to your eternal reward. In Matthew 6, 19, another one. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So what the Lord is saying is we shouldn't have huge, huge sums of money. Now we should save. We should have something for our old age because guess what? You're not going to be able to earn much when you get a little older. So we should save ahead if we can. But so many people want to just keep stocking it up. Thousands and then hundreds of thousands and millions. Folks, we don't need that. We're just here for a little while. The Lord says whatever he gifts you with, Send it ahead. Give it to the Lord's work. Give it to the rescue mission. Give it to wherever you want to give it. But you don't need millions of dollars. When I got ready to retire from Saginaw Steering Gear, I started taking a couple pre-retirement classes. They said in order to maintain the lifestyle that I have, I would have to have $1 million stored away. I said, if I have to have $1 million stored away on this earth, I'm never going to retire. Because I just keep passing it on. As the Lord brings it in, it goes out. I don't want to have huge sums of money because it's a waste. I'm not going to be able to use it. I want it to be used for God's glory. Here's another thing Jesus said that's pretty outrageous even among Christians today. Matthew 5:38. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. That's an outrageous statement. Unless you realize as you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he gives you a promise he will repay you. So what the Lord is saying is, if you have something, if you have food in your refrigerator, and somebody knocks on your door and says, do you have any food I could have? Share it. The Lord will bless you for it. You'll have more food. Once the Lord finds out you're willing to pass the blessing, he's going to give you more. Why? Because he knows you're going to be one that will pass it on to others. Another teaching in Matthew 5:43. You've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Our Lord wants us to love those that evilly use us. And you say, that can't be done. Anybody remember what Jesus prayed on the cross as he was dying? They don't know what they're doing. And you say, well, yeah, but he's God. He could do that. Nobody else can. Remember what Stephen prayed when he was dying, the first martyr of the church? He said, Father, don't hold this against them. They had just stoned him to death, and he's praying for them. That's the love of God in our hearts. I mentioned this morning as we talked about the Apostle Paul, Saul being one that was killing Christians. I said, do you suppose any of those Christians were praying for him? I'll bet there were some that were actively praying for him to be saved. Folks, we need to be those that live God's way and not man's way. In Matthew 20, verse 16, Jesus said, the last will be first, and the first will be last. We live in a dog-eat-dog world. I'm going to get ahead even if I have to trample everybody else. The Lord says, no, bless others and help them to get ahead. And as you help them get ahead, you're going to get ahead. Folks, we don't think right. Jesus is telling us some things that we never have heard before from anybody else ever. And people still don't believe it today. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Little kids have a hard time with that. Grandparents don't have any trouble with that at all. I would much rather see my grandkids happy with a present than me to get one. They don't mean much anymore. Yeah, that's a nice shirt. Okay. But when you see those little guys open their presents, we get excited. We have joy in our hearts. Then in John chapter 7, verse 45, it says, finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, Why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. You mean he's deceived you also, the Pharisees retorted? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? They didn't think anybody had. But Nicodemus had already. He was a leader of the Pharisees. He believed in Jesus, but quietly, so he could keep being a Pharisee. Our Lord Jesus said of his own teachings in Matthew 7:24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. If I were to say to you, if you don't follow exactly every word I speak, you're like a man building his house on the sand. You say, Jerry, you're crazy. Why could Jesus say that? Because he's God. He wasn't just a man. He's the creator of everything. And he says, this is the way this world really works. And we have a choice. We can believe him and start to obey him and do those things, or we can disbelieve him. The choice is ours. But the results of the choice are not ours. If we build our house on the sand and the storm comes, and the storm always comes, our house is going to fall down. But if we build our house on the rock, Jesus Christ, the storms are still going to come, but we're going to stand strong. Our Lord's most controversial and most politically incorrect statement he ever made was found in John chapter 14 again. In John 14, 1, Jesus is about to die, and he knows he's going to die tomorrow morning. And this is what he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The claim of Jesus Christ to be the only way to eternal life, the only way to the Father in heaven, the only way to heaven itself, is the teaching that puts most of the craw in the world's gutter because of us. Because we're proclaiming that same thing. And the world hates that teaching. It doesn't want it at all. We say there's only one way to heaven. I remember when I was an apprentice in the shop, this is years ago, I worked in the central tool room. I was learning how to run lathes and how to shape metal. And I worked with a journeyman, and he got a job, and he looked at the print, and he said, "Okay, Jerry, I'm going to show you the only right way to do this job." And so I watched him closely, because the first time I ever seen really intricate work on a lathe, and I followed his steps, and we got the job done, and it was right to dimensions. Everything was right. And so I thought, wow, only way to do it. 2 weeks later, I worked with another journeyman, and it was a very similar job, almost the same. But he said, "Jerry, this is the only way to do this job." So I said, "Okay, I'll watch him." But it was a different way. Both journeymen thought they had the only way to do it right, but both ways did the same thing. So after that, when a journeyman would tell me this is the only way, I would just smile and listen to what he said, realizing after he was done, I was going to put the best of his ways with the best of the other people that were teaching me, and I was going to come up with my own way. But when I broke people in, I never said this is the only way, because there's lots of ways to do the same job. There's lots of ways to get to different places. If you wanted to go to Chicago today, you could take the ferry across Lake Michigan and go to Chicago. You could drive around and go to Chicago. You could drive up through the UP over the Mackinac Bridge, go around and come right down into Chicago. Lots of ways. But Jesus said there's only one way to get to heaven. It's quite a controversial statement because every other religion claims they have the way to heaven. I just want to look at a few of those. Are all religions equal? Muslims say God has no son. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Muslims worship a different God than we worship entirely. It's the moon god. What I want to say today is there is a difference in religion. When it comes to morality, most major religions teach almost the same stuff as far as how to treat people and how to get along in the world. But every one of them has a different way to eternal life. Every single one. So when we come to this, and Jesus makes that statement that he made in John 14:6, we tell a Muslim that you can't get to heaven by trusting in Allah. They don't want to hear that. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's bad enough with the Muslims that have one basic way through working and obeying Allah and the teachings of the Quran. But if you talk to a Hindu, how many different ways and how many different gods do they have to get to heaven? Tim Brancic and I worked with a Hindu engineer. He had 10,000 different gods that he could pick from. Folks, he thinks there's lots of ways to heaven. You talk to your friends or your family, and maybe they'll tell you, I'm trying to get to heaven by being a good person. I'm trying to get to heaven by keeping the law. I'm trying to get to heaven by whatever means they have. And we say, no. The Bible makes it very clear that there's one way. Our Lord Jesus made some very unique claims for himself. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus claimed to be the light, not just to enlighten you. Buddhists say, if you'll follow their teachings, you'll come into the light. Jesus said, I am that light. Folks, it's extremely important we understand this. Other religions say, follow my teaching, and I'll show you many doors that lead to God. Jesus said in John 10:1, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, because the Pharisees were planning on getting to heaven by keeping the law given to Moses. But I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am, another one of those seven statements. When you say, I am, you're claiming to be Jehovah God, Creator God. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Other religions say, follow me and I'll show you the truth. But Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know why you're alive today? You're alive today because Jesus Christ is keeping you alive. Every cell in your body, every atom in your body is just waiting to explode because it's all positive charges in the nucleus of every atom in your body. Positive charges want to separate. Take two positive charges on a battery and try to stick them together. Doesn't work. Jesus Christ is the one that holds it all together. Why is your heart beating today? Because Jesus Christ is your life. He's keeping you going. He's going to keep you going until your time on this earth is done, and then he's going to take you home. It's a wonderful life. No problem with that at all. Other religions say, follow me, and I'll show you how to gain eternal life. Jesus said in John 5:24, very, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Folks, we've already made it as far as God is concerned. In our society, if you become a born-again Christian, you're still considered a part of our society. But if you lived in Iran, and you were a Muslim, and you became a Christian, you can expect to die. They're going to try to kill you. If you lived in Israel today, and you were Jewish, and you became a Christian, believe it or not, they would have a funeral for you. They would even have a casket for you. You wouldn't be in it, but you would be declared dead to your family because you left the faith. Folks, we're fortunate. We live where we do. We have the ability to believe in Jesus Christ and to trust in him and not to be very much shunned. Our Lord Jesus taught exactly the opposite of other religious leaders of his time and even of religious leaders of our time. In John 6:35, then Jesus declared, I am, again, one of those seven statements, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you've seen me and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Other religions will teach you that, yes, you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but then you have to do what we tell you or you're going to lose your salvation. Whose responsibility did Jesus say it is for those who trust in him to keep you saved? It's his responsibility. I can't do it, but God can. It's a teaching that's absolutely contrary. All the other world religions are always spelled do. There's something you have to do. The Christian religion is spelled done. The work has already been done. All we have to do is believe. That's it. Then the Holy Spirit comes in and he'll make the changes he wants. But it's not men's rules. It's God. He'll do the work. Other fundamental differences between world religions, Hinduism says everything is God. Whether you know it or not, in the Hindu faith, this little platform right here is God. Those pews are God. You are God. A horse is God. A cow is God. Everything is God. That's why they've got 10,000 different gods that they worship. Folks, everything is not God. The Bible makes it very clear. There's one God, and we're not Him. I'm not God. I'm glad I'm not. I would make a mess of things. I'm glad I'm not in charge. Folks, there'd be a lot of dead people on this earth if I was in charge that the Lord hasn't taken out. Some of the things I see just make me so angry I could just shout. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Folks, churches today and different religions today are saying there's all kinds of things more important than that. You've got to follow our rules. You've got to do this and this and this. Jesus said, no. All you have to do is fall madly in love with God, love Him and obey Him, and fall in love with other people and want the best for them. Everything else will fall in line. But we don't want to do that. We want to be in charge of our own lives. That's why when you hear the debate about abortion, a woman will say, it's my body. If she's a Christian, is it her body? The Bible says we belong to another. The price has been paid for us. I'm not in charge. Everything I own, I don't own it. Jesus Christ owns it now. It's all His. And once we realize that, we can live differently. So you've got the testimony of the whole world against what Jesus Christ said. You get to choose. Which way do you want to go? In 1 John 5:9, it says, we accept human testimony, and we do every day. When you jump on an airplane, you're taking the testimony of that pilot that he knows how to fly. When you let somebody else drive your car, you're taking a testimony that they know how to drive. We do it every day. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it's the testimony of God which He's given about His Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because he's not believed the testimony God has given us about His Son. And this is the testimony. In other words, verse 11, 12, and 13. This is the testimony God has given about His Son. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Buddhism does not believe in salvation, not through the shed blood of Christ. Where are Buddhists going when their life is over? They're going to the lake of fire. They're not going to heaven. Hindus believe there are 10,000 gods. They do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Where are Muslims going? They're not going to heaven. That's why we need to get the gospel all around the world. There are millions of people, nice people. They'd be good neighbors. But they don't know about Jesus Christ. And we do, and we can share it. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, for you know that it was not with the perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him, you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, So your faith and hope are in God. My hope and faith is not in anything I have ever done or ever will do. There's nothing I can do to make myself right with God. God has already done everything that needs to be done. All I need to do is put my faith in Jesus Christ. So the challenge goes out, and you get to challenge your family and your friends with the truth. In all of our families, we have people who are believing other ways of salvation than simple faith in Jesus Christ. We have the right and the blessing to share the good news with them that they can know right now that they have eternal life. But they must trust Christ. Folks, it's a narrow teaching. There's no question about it. Salvation, God's way of salvation, is imputation. And you say, what is that word, imputation? It means something is put into you. On the cross, all my sin was imputed to Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it tells us, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you've been healed. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, all of my sin, all of your sin, and everybody on this earth's sin was all imputed, and it all went in to Him. That's why God the Father had to turn His back on His Son. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was because of me. It was because of you. All that sin imputed to Him. But the good news is, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all His righteousness is imputed to you. You have all of Christ's righteousness inside of you now in the person of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you know when you stand before Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in heaven, you're going to be declared as righteous as God is? Not because you are, not because I am, but because Christ's righteousness is imputed to me when I put my faith in Him. What a blessing we have. No other religion has that. Every other major religion in this world is something you have to do. Christianity is just something you have to believe. You don't have to do anything. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. We as Christians are pretty narrow-minded. We believe what the Bible says. We're staking our eternal life on what the Bible has said. So I want to read one more time, 1 John 5:9, because I want you to listen to this, and maybe you're kind of on the fence. I don't know where everybody is in your heart, but it's time to jump over. It's time to go all the way in. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it's the testimony of God which He's given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because they've not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so you may know that you have eternal life. I want you to think just for a minute about your own family. How many people in your own family, when I talk about your family, I'm talking about your parents, grandparents if they're still alive, I'm talking about your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, How many of you know people in your own family that have never received Christ as Savior? They are lost. They are without hope in the world. They're dead in their sins right now. You might be the only one that's going to speak to them about it. Don't hold back. The worst thing that could happen is when you get to heaven, if they could speak to you, they'd say, "Jerry, you knew about it all those years. Why didn't you at least try to tell me?" Folks, this shouldn't be a secret in our families. I don't say drive our families crazy with it, but we ought to be bringing it up over and over every avenue we can, because it's eternal. They already know you love them. They already know you care about them. And the greatest way you can show compassion to them is simply telling the truth, because the gospel is the truth. Actor Cary Grant once told how he was walking along a street back when he was very popular, and a man came up to him. He couldn't think of the name. He kept saying it, and Cary Grant said, "Cary Grant?" And he said, no, you're not him. That's not it." There was Cary Grant identifying himself, and the man says, "No, that's not it." Folks, it was it. Jesus Christ has identified himself as the only way to heaven. We need to stop arguing with him and believe him. We need to pray for our families in exactly the same way. In John 1:10, it says he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. When he was on this earth, he was the creator of every person that he saw, but they didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own. He came to the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Folks, listen to that. All we need do is trust in Jesus Christ, and we'll have eternal life. We'll be sons and daughters of God. The Lord wants you to know that it really is that simple. It's Jesus Christ, faith in him, plus nothing. The Holy Spirit will go to work. He'll change what he wants to change. But the world wants to tell you, that's not right. That's not the way. Folks, I've studied the Bible for over 50 years now. And the more I study it, the more I say it is the truth. It's absolute truth. One quarter of the Bible is foretelling the future. And almost every prophecy is already proven 100% true. No other world religion has prophecy in their holy book. The Quran had one, and in order to fulfill that one, he lied. He made a treaty with the city. He said, "I'll never come in to harm you, and you won't come out to harm me." He went in and put all those people to death. He said, "I'm going to enter the city." He entered the city by lying. Our Lord said, "Put me to death, and in 3 days I'll rise again." There's quite a difference between the two. And Jesus Christ rose. Father, give us absolute faith in your word. Give us a holy boldness, not a brassiness, Lord, but a boldness to speak to our families before it's forever too late. Father, help us to be busy praying for our families, to come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, we're going to give you the praise as you work in us, and then you work through us. And we'll give it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.